What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Wednesday, the 29th of April. Hope you're well, had a fantastic day. You've had a Wednesday. At least it's a Wednesday that's a Wednesday, and it's not a Saturday that feels like a Wednesday, or a Friday that feels like a Sunday. At least it's fucking what day it's meant to be. Let's just take it one day at a time and try and enjoy it as best as you can. I bet you haven't had a Wednesday like I have, where loads of money was meant to come in and it fucking hasn't. And now it's like, caller is not answering the phone. Sorry. This phone is switched off. And it's like fucking five fucking times I've tried, about 3 hours apart. And it's always when somebody owes you money. So I don't seem too keen, so I've not left more than 20 messages going, what's happening, is it going to be in my bank, what time is the bank going to shut, what time are you going to get to the bank? Anyway, I'm sure it'll happen, but at the moment it's fucking up in the air, in the, it's floating around and I can't pluck it. I know it's there somewhere, but I can't fucking grab it, so at the moment I'm having to sweat. They're putting the sweat on me. I'll have to sit here with a sweatband on. That's when you'll know when I'm fucking short of cash. Or when somebody owes me money and, like, you know, they've promised to transfer it. And they're, like, giving all the bullshit. Like, it's a series of bullshit days. And today was meant to be the last of the bullshit days. But the bullshit day has fucking come again. So, anyway, I'll tell you more juice on that tomorrow if it doesn't happen. Anyway, what's happening? So a guy has been caught giving the news... a newsreader has been caught on TV without his pants on. When I first read that, I thought he was in the TV studio. I thought, that's a bit fucking brazen. You know what I mean? Got to work really late. You know, like when you see some of the comedies where they're fucking the anchorman and shit like that, when they get on and they're all fucking scruffy and they get themselves together at the very last minute. But no, it was somebody at home. So he was doing the news report from his house and he's had his pants on. And pants in England, if you're not watching in England, pants in England is underpants, not fucking trousers. America, it's pants. So I thought he was just naked, but he's got underwear on. Anyway, he just he winged it, and I don't know whether he actually noticed. The whole world noticed apart from him. But he still can't take away from... it still hasn't diverted attention away from Trump, who's refusing to take any blame for the fact that loads of people are fucking drinking 2 litre bottles of disinfectant and gargling with bleach and shit like that in America. Because they just think, well, fucking give that a go. Sounds all right. You would be desperate if you actually had the fucking virus, though, wouldn't you? You could, like, go to those lengths if you, you know, weren't too fucking up on what it could do to you. You know, it could be fucking whatever reason, but you might be fucking really dying with the coronavirus and it's the last fucking step. You can't get through on the emergency number and you might give it a go. But, you know, you can't really... He's saying he's got nothing to do with it. He hasn't really. He's just put the fucking idea out there and he's floated it. So hopefully people fucking move away from doing that, because at the very least they're going to... fucking make himself worse, let's put it that way. And another guy who's caught with his pants down, not quite, this is like a metaphor for having his pants down, was Mike Pence, the Donald Trump sidekick, you know, the one who's always on his shoulder. He's like fucking, you know, Bert and Ernie, after, what's it called? Sesame Street, it reminds me of that. He's always like in the background, he's always facing the same way as him, on his shoulder. He's never like, always like really close to him, staring at him. Like a weird, weird kind of fucking setup. But at the same time, he was caught. Well, he wasn't caught. He was at a place where they were visiting COVID patients. And they're doing tests on. And he met somebody who's recovering from it and stuff. But everybody in the room has got a mask on. Everyone, apart from him. He's braving it without the mask because obviously he thinks he'll look weak on TV or on camera with a mask on in this room. So that's an equivalent of having your pants down, being caught with your pants down. Because if he catches it, he's going to have fucking more than his pants down. He's going to be like really embarrassed because, you know, that's going to be massive headlines. They won't wait to fucking jump on that one. Anyway, I hope he doesn't, you know, for the sake of my comedic take on it, but or my personal opinion about it. But it's a bit stupid, isn't it? If everybody in the room's not got a mask, everyone in the room's got a mask on, I would want a mask on. It's when you fucking walk into a supermarket and you've got a mask on and everybody hasn't got one on and you go, oh, fucking hell, now I feel stupid. But anyway, you just got to like fucking do whatever you want. It's not a law, is it? It's not legal for you to not get ill and fucking die. Anyway, but I was going to say, Tom, I don't know his name, I keep forgetting his surname, but the guy who raised all the money for the NHS, I've spoken about him a few times, the old guy, he's 100, he ain't old, he's 100, and he's fucking a young 100 now that he's had a new lease of life. He's buzzing. He's probably going to be like fucking sprinting around the garden next. Fuck the, the walker machine off that he's been using. He's probably going to start doing marathons and stuff now, doing a Benjamin Button. Anyway, my point was, somebody's done a wicked graffiti of him. Graffiti's like fucking, got a bit, street art is my favourite kind of art. I love it, and it always, especially when, this is just a tribute to him, but I like street art generally, especially when it's like, got some political point or some kind of reference or clever kind of meaning to it. But, you know, like a lot of Banksy stuff has, but there's loads of other people, not just Banksy, who've got like, for instance, there was one I saw yesterday, which I was talking yesterday about everybody spending all the money on their arms, and everybody's got all their military and the big machine that they're all spending fortunes on to keep the rest of the world away from what you've got. But at the same time, you're going, oh, these are our friends, let's meet at the G7 and the G8, and we're all pals shaking hands doing deals, but really behind you is all this military might. And somebody's done a graffiti anyway of two hands shaking, and the hands are shaking, but behind the hands is like two guns, two pistols, and the hands, so the hands shake, but the sort of wrists are the pistol kind of thing behind the hands. And it's quite poignant really, because an image based on explaining what I'm trying to say, if you know what I mean. And I can't say it very well, but that image fucking says it very much exactly as I'm trying to explain it. Anyway, this guy's done a fucking brilliant graffiti of that Tom Moore, and he just whacked it up in no time. Literally, I mean, how they do these massive faces, then they look just like the person. But they're like doing it from like close up. You know, they can't even see you. I mean, when you're in there doing it with a spray can, and you're doing it with a spray can, he's not even doing it with a pen. But when they're in there, the eye's like as big as your head, and you're trying to do that, and then like you're trying to do the next bit. I'd have to step all the way back, and oh no, fuck the eyebrow up, and keep going back like that. But it's perfect, look just like him. The artist's name is Title. So in the newspapers, they fucking put the picture of it, but didn't mention the graffiti artist's name, so I'm mentioning him. His name's Title. So check him out, or check that particular image out, because he looks great. Anyway, what was I going to say? Where's the next one I was going to say on that one? No, I'm going to come back to that. Oh, there were some pictures. There was another thing of fucking somebody, somebody put smuggling birds, right, out of Indonesia. Somebody's trying to smuggle parakeets, and they were smuggling them in fucking, you know, like Coke bottles. Bottles of Coke that you would drink out of. You know how fucking thin and small they are? They'd squash these, and the small ones, not the big 2 litre ones, the smaller ones, and they'd squashed fucking parakeets into them, alive. And they couldn't move. They were stuck in like, at first I thought it was, like they were selling them on like some kind of street market or whatever, like a fucking bottle of bird. But it was actually, they were smuggling them. That's how fucking, you know, and that's just cruel as fuck anyway. And that's how diseases and shit spread around. That's, we're getting all these diseases because of how you treat fucking animals like shit, like that. And like, you know, they're like fucking feeling like crap, and then all of a sudden somebody's going to come out, they're going to die or something like that, somebody's going to touch it, and then all of a sudden you got the next COVID shit situation coming around. I watched a brilliant take on a woman who preserves chimpanzees and stuff like that, whatever, but she gave a fucking brilliant take on it yesterday about all the diseases, you name it, fucking SARS, bird flu, chicken flu, which is bird flu, mad cow disease, fucking this COVID, and the list got AIDS. The list goes on and on, and it's all fucking come from animals. It's all come from how we treat animals. All shit that we have done to animals, and they've just, and nature's fucking chucked some shit like that back at us. So you know, fucking the buck stops, doesn't it? So you got to fucking do things differently. But anyway, that's just the. a particular point on the current situation with that COVID thing, because that's come from, it could have come out of like this, the sign it come from the markets, then somebody else is saying it's come from like a fucking lab in it, but it's come, the thing that come from the lab came from the market, an animal type thing anyway, and it's mutated, or they're practicing on it, aren't they? It's come out of it that way. Anyway, what the fuck do I know? I don't know. I'm just saying, we're all having to live with it, so I can be pissed off just like you, and I'm trying to make sense of it. And another thing, that look at these, this is how people are getting cooped up, because there's a big queue of people here at the rubbish tip. The rubbish tips are opening, or they have in some places, and that's fucking a day out, and there's a massive queue. Everyone's fucking queuing up, especially this one. It's quite a nice one, the rubbish tip in Guernsey, because there's a massive queue of cars all the way down the fucking street, all the way down the road, and all the way down the hill. But it's on beautiful plains and that, like with hills and like countryside and everything like. So it's a great place to sit in your car and look out at the countryside while you're waiting to go into the tip. So that's not bad. But people are just using it as a day out, aren't they? Because I guess you can social distance between your cars. I hate going to fucking rubbish tip. You ever been to rubbish tip? Every fucker wants to go to the rubbish tip when I want to go. There's always a massive queue. They're doing this because it's first fucking chance to get out where it's not down on exercise, and like, you know, probably like everyone's done the garden. Everyone's got like Japanese pagodas and everything in their garden now, and they're doing all the decking and fucking, they've got like landscape. Everyone's turned into a landscape gardener just for something to do. So they're getting rid of that shit. But whenever I've been to the fucking rubbish dump, there's fucking everybody's there. It's like the day out with the family and everything, and they've got fucking trailers of gardening stuff and that, especially in the summer. Horrible. So what pain in the arse. And it's, you always see these programs where they're going up and picking stuff up from the tip and everything. When I've been there, and I think, oh, that's fucking, I'll take that. They don't let you. They'll say, no, you can't take anything, health and safety. You can't take anything, health and safety. And I know people who fucking do, and they bung them a few quid in that, like, and they've got the contract to take anything that you dump at the tip. They can have it, or have first dibs at it. So they fucking bullshitted me. Because I even said, like, I'll bung you some money, but nah, I can't, health and safety. And then he probably looked at it and thought, that must be worth something if that guy wants it. So he waited for me to go and fucking nicked it. Arsehole. Because it was worth something as well. I can't remember what it was now. I think it was like a fucking designer chair, and he wouldn't let me have it because it was in the bin already, and I'd have had to climb in, do a fucking hang and drop, you know what I mean? But I know for sure that he had it out of there. Anyway, that's another fucking loss. I chalked that one off as a loss of giving. I've done a good deed. I've given him like some extra pocket money. I was going to say, pubs may be open with drinkers being limited to 2 or 3 pints when the pub's open. They ain't going to work. They'll be fucking, they're going to get around that. They would shorten visits and stop pubs getting jammed, experts believe. Well, I suppose it could work. But some people will just have 1 pint and just sit in there all day. But they'll make it work. They'll get around it. And they'll, again, they'll bung the barman or make it fucking something like that way. But when it's locals, are you going to do that? If it's all locals and it's only the locals that drink in there. If he's got an ever-rotating place, you're never going to keep out on top of it anyway, are you? Are you going to go up going, I'm sure you come in. Have you already had your drink? Are you going to have it? You're not going to fucking be able to keep on top of it. And anyway, locals and that, as soon as they get in their pub, they've almost got their, you know, the locals, when they got their own fucking pint glass behind the bar and that, like Pete Beale used to have on EastEnders. There's a pub by me, he's got a name tag, one guy has, his name tag's on the end of the bar. You sit in his seat, if he comes in, you've got to move, because it's his seat. He's there every single fucking night. I found that out when I sat in it once, and he come in and fucking asked me to move, and I was a bit perturbed, but he looked and went, that's me, Don. That's my chair. So I was like, oh well, okay. It's one of them places, is it? Anyway, I was going to say, I'll get my name one day. I'll get my name in somewhere, Wayne, written. Wayne owes money here. That's what mine will be. I owe you. Running up a tab. Wayne owes fucking... anybody seen Wayne? That's what it'll say. Anybody know where Wayne is? He said he was going to the toilet. He's fucked off. He paid his bill. I've left it with Don. Dan'll sort it out. Switch the names. He can have it now. He comes in about 6 o'clock. He can carry on and pay the bill. The best situation, I think I said it once before, was when I was in a bar in Croatia, and a guy, an American sailor, sat next to me. And first of all, he was asking me fucking if I can get him anything. He was asking me, must have thought I was a local or whatever, because I don't know, mate. But he was a captain of a fucking yacht. And anyway, we were chatting for a bit, and when he left, he paid my bill, and I went to pay my bill, and he'd already paid it. And I was like, nice one, man. He was like, that's a nice gesture. Americans are like that, ain't they? If Americans, they're like, settling the bill. I'll deal with that. I'll pay that. So I think I've had that once before in Las Vegas when I was chatting to a guy. He liked my stupid accent. He was laughing at my accent all the time when we were talking. Next thing you know, he said, like, let me get you what he wants and all your friends. He must have been fucking loaded because he said, you and all your friends. So we all, like, fucking put the order in. And then he went. Didn't even stick around to finish. We got the drinks, gave them to us and went, see you later. Fucking nice, man. Anyway, I was going to say, speaking of rich people, the guy who won 58 million quid has been bombarded with begging letters for cash and offers for sex from mystery ladies. So that's fucking 100% going to come, isn't it? 58 million quid in the bank. He must be like, that's why you don't put your name in the paper. There must be a clause where you can say, do you want to be anonymous or not? I'd stick with the anonymous one. Don't fucking go. And like, with the big champagne bottle going, yeah, I've got 58 million quid. Anyone dodgy in the area going, right, did you see that? Did you see that in the paper? That guy down the road has fucking had all that money. How can we tap into it? Anyway, but some people are sending the old letters and offering him sex left, right and centre. He ain't going to be fucking short of offers for the rest of his life. He might get pissed off of it, in fact. He'll get like, oh, fuck it, I can't be bothered with this. You know what I mean? That was a novelty. The novelty will wear thin in the end. You just go, oh, you know what I mean? Are you just after my money or what? Yeah, okay. Let's just have sex and then we'll decide where we'll go from there afterwards. Because you are extremely beautiful. So you might as well just get it. If they're willing to do it and, like, you know, buy a bottle of champagne, they're going to touch your 58 million, is it? Just give them the night that they want and then say, see you later. I've got to do this again. I've got fucking somebody else in the diary for tomorrow. In fact, I've got 4 in the diary for tomorrow. I told you the aliens are coming. The aliens are here. Well, they've been. There's UFOs. I was surprised, actually, that this come from a Navy pilot. US Navy pilots have, like, videoed a UFO, excuse me, jumping around the sky. And they put it out. You normally think that would get squashed, wouldn't it? Or like fucking, they wouldn't like, not from the military, it's normally from a person, like a Joe Public. But yeah, so they got it on there and they're going like, what the hell is that? And it's shooting around. Is this from 2015? I thought it was just, fucking hell, I thought it was just in the paper. This is from 2015, I think. But anyway, the grainy clip shows unexplained aerial phenomenon. That's what they like to call it. They can't just say a UFO flying around. They're saying unexplained aerial phenomenon. Something like a phenomenon. So they've come and checked us out. And they'll be back. Fucking, they're visiting on a regular basis. But we're always too preoccupied with the shit down here, like climate change and what's it called? Diseases, wars, whatever else. They're just like looking at us and going, what the fuck are those fucking those things down there? What are they doing? They're looking down at us the way that, like, we look like ants, I suppose, don't we, to them? Not that they're giants, but they're that far away. So they're looking at us from a distance, going, just seeing like explosions going off and fucking earthquakes and tornadoes going along. They must think this crazy place, like the Wild West. It fucking is as well. I'm from the Wild West Midlands, which is Birmingham. Birmingham, massive. Birmingham is massive. Second biggest city in the country. Second biggest. Remember that, anybody from another country. Birmingham is the second city. Not Manchester. Get that out of your head. Manchester's third. But Birmingham's the second, and it's the second best. It's not the second best, it's the best. It's the second biggest. Anyway, where are we going? What am I talking about? So aliens are coming. Or they're coming again. They haven't rang me yet. They'll probably get in touch sooner or later and go, we've been listening to your podcast, mate, and we can see that you're on a fucking different level to half of them fuckers down there. You talk a little bit of sense. Oh, in fact, you don't talk any sense, but you talk our kind of sense. Nonsense. That's what we understand you for some reason. Anyway, what am I going to say? Well, I was going to talk, I've lost my place. Being rich is bad for your health. I've got loads to talk about here. I've fucking waffled on other stuff. Being rich is bad for your health, say scientists. Fucking hell, you want to try being the opposite of that? I don't think there's a happy medium on either side. No, there is a happy medium. It's in the middle where you got some money and you ain't fucking struggling. It's like being rich can be bad for you, though. Can it, like I say, that guy's going to find out how bad 58 million is for him. And it's going to be a good side of bad, if you ask me. Workers who make a lot of money are more likely to be struck down with type 2 diabetes, strokes, and heart attacks than skint colleagues. Well, I don't know. You can go both ways. You can look at it that way. It's like the Romans, isn't it? Apparently, like a lot of Romans had had a lot of illnesses, and I don't know, am I making this up? I think I've heard it somewhere. They had a lot of illnesses through their rich diets and all the fucking banquets and stuff like that they used to have, whereas the peasants and stuff would have less meat and stuff. They would have more grain and more you know, kind of whole food diets because they couldn't afford fuck all else, whereas all the rich people was having all the, you know, the splendid fucking loads of meat and whatever else, and they had more diabetes and heart disease and shit like that, or they had loads of illnesses through that. Have I made that up? I fucking heard that somewhere anyway, but I haven't got time to think about it now. But yeah, so they're going to be dining out all the time, aren't they? Drinking the finest, sniffing like fucking like Henry the Hoover and stuff like that. They're going to be living it up. So yeah. But at least they'll be having a good time. Better be like skins. And at the bottom of the scales, the poor people are doing just the same. But they, when they get money, they blow it and then they go back to zero. And then they get some money, blow it, go back to zero. I can tell you that from fucking, what's it called? From personal, from a personal perspective, should I say. Right, I'm going to finish up on one more thing. I've got loads more, but unfortunately, you've waffled on too much, you've been interrupting me too much, and I've had to fucking keep starting over. Anyway, last one. Rob Lowe says Tom Cruise flew into a rage as an up-and-coming actor when he was told he would have to share a hotel room with him. Tom Cruise kicked off. You've seen him when he goes into one of his fucking blind kind of meaningful rages on chat shows or whatever. He's a bit loopy, isn't he? But he said they went ballistic because he had to share a room. That was one of his first films. And Rob Lowe said, I remember thinking, wow, this guy is the fucking real deal. He fucking knows what he wants and he knows what he wants and when he wants it and like where he's going. And he kicked off. And that was in the film The Outsiders. Have you ever seen that? It's fucking brilliant. It's like a who's who of who's going to be a next Hollywood star. It's got Patrick Swayze in it, Rob Lowe, Tom Cruise. Who's that other guy? Oh, fucking hell, off the top of my head. There's loads about another five others. CJ Thompson or something of his name is. What was his name? The one who played one of the Teen Wolves, I think he did. Anyway, check it out, The Outsiders. Good film. But Tom Cruise was fucking bitching even then. But he was, I don't know if that was pre-Scientology or not, but his fucking head's way fucking confused with all them. You know, it's like how anybody. Have you seen that? Louis Theroux did a brilliant documentary about Scientology, and they follow somebody around with the cameras and everything. When they're trying to trip somebody out, they like put pressure on them by following them around and knocking on the door and just being like really in their face because they'd been talking about the Scientology or giving secrets away. And they weren't fucking. They looked like they had been like obsessed or had their brains fried by another planet or something, and they're being controlled like some kind of puppetry. Tom Cruise living in that world. Apart from that, he's a great actor. I'm not going to knock him for that. Anyway, I could go on about that forever, but I've got to go off and do something else. So hopefully you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you again tomorrow. See you later for now. Bye.